I'm so happy to be talking to my friend Susie from Interdependence. She's an Interdependence Health Foods on Highway 89A in Sedona, owner, operator, a person who is dedicated to what she does and actually is getting ready to take a bit of a camping trip. Aren't you, Susie?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
It'll be good. Just up to Williams towards the Grand Canyon and take some time out on a friend's ranch land with a group of friends.
How nice is that, huh? Getting back to nature is important, isn't it? I love it when people can get out and take time to do that. It's very different when you're camping and out in nature versus trying to deal with the logistics of taking a trip that you're going to go fly somewhere and you're going to be doing all this and staying in hotels and all the baggage. It's a whole different experience. But then again, you love nature and you love gardens. And at Interdependence Health Food Stores there, you have a lot of friends who do work closely with the earth and deliver you products that are right from that general area, right?
Mm-hmm. I was just appreciating, as I was thinking about all the local vendors that we have this morning, how many of them really deeply care. It's not just that they're putting a product on the shelf and trying to make a profit, but they care about the amount of waste. They care about the sourcing. They care about all the people along the supply chain. They have compostable packaging. They source locally when they can. And I love being in a community of people that really actually care about the stories behind what they're doing.
And there are, that is the wonderful thing that I love so much about owner-operators. Is there's a story with every single person that you work with, and you know the story, and that's how it comes to be at your store. It's part of the story of a store.
Yeah.
Is because you do know these people, and in a way you understand what they're trying to do in their work. Let's talk about some of the stories of some of the people who bring you. Things that are done locally there in Sedona.
All right. Well, we've got, so there's the farmers. We've got produce farmers. We've got ranchers for beef. We've got people that raise chicken and honey and milk. We have dairy cow farmers. So that's sort of one category, and then we've got the vendors that are creating a product. And so, for example, our beef supplier, they are pasture raising their beef here in Chino Valley, and they pasture them for a year, and then they supplement with a barley mash, which is a byproduct of a local brewery.
Hmm.
What I like about that is that barley mash is a waste product. It would normally not be used, but instead it's going back into the food chain, and I think that's pretty cool.
Now, first of all, talk about the fact that there's a local brewery, which I'm not aware of. What's that local brewery, and what are they doing?
They're up in Flagstaff, actually, so it's sort of local.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Barley mash is a byproduct of the beer industry.
Hmm.
So,
and what
they've
got truckloads
of it.
So what do you do with that?
So they put it out for the cows. It's not like they're in a contained area and forced to eat it. It's just they're excited to eat it. They enjoy it.
Yeah.
So they're grazing on the grass and then supplementing with the barley mash.
Isn't that interesting? And it's probably very good for them.
Yeah. I mean, there's different theories on that. Some people don't want any grains in their feed, so they should know that they're being fed that as well. But it does create like marbling in the product, which some people enjoy in terms of the culinary experience. And it also lessens their water footprint significantly for irrigating their grasses, and it's probably economical for them too.
Yeah, that's great. The other thing you turned me on to, I wasn't aware of, is I used to live in Sonoma County, and there was apples, and Sebastopol apples, of course, are famous. And they were, I was very aware of apples and the presence of the orchards there. But I did not know that there were orchards in Sedona, because I guess I think of Sedona partly as it's still kind of the desert, or Arizona you think of not as necessarily being welcoming to growing apple trees. So I was shocked when you told me that there's actually people who have who grow apples in Sedona.
Definitely. And, you know, you can do, especially because we have water. We have our perennial mm-hmm. Oak Creek. It never dries up.
Yeah.
But there's actually a wide variety of fruits that can grow here. They put down their long taproot and they make it with a little help in the beginning, maybe, but.
Well, of course, that's another whole sub-area that's really beautiful, especially in the summertime when it gets really, really, really hot, right? When it gets really hot, everyone wants to head out to the Oak Creek, right? It's a little different. But in the wintertime, you can get rather icy and snowy and cold out that way. It can be frosty and freezing and everything. Mm-hmm. I wonder how the apple trees do when it does get that cold. I guess they survive fairly well during that, you know, that time, but they'd have to be able to grow. And you even mentioned that there's vineyards, which I wasn't aware of. I guess now there's one or two vineyards that have begun in Sedona.
Actually, more than that. Not in Sedona, unless there's something I don't know about, but in the surrounding town. And grapes do really well in a dry climate.
Well, I mean, that is an interesting point, because I've got... When it's again going back to when I lived in Sonoma County, that's famous for its vineyards. But what was happening there is you did get hot summers, not near as hot as you get in Arizona, but you'd have hot summers and you would have sometimes the cool ocean breeze, though, that would come up and create fogs and things, which would be interesting, which you don't get in Arizona. I have to ask you, because one thing that's going on, as we all know, housing is growing, and the cost of housing is going up. Whenever we see this happening, it becomes almost like dangerous for people who have and do grow things like vineyards or orchards or even cattle farmers, etc., because there's always that, like, well, gosh, it's not easy being a farmer or a grower. And there's always that, well, we could sell this and this could become homes. What do you hear from people who are going through this situation where they realize the cost of everything's going up? Is there that, what does it take to get over maybe it's a word as temptation to still maintain their orchards and their vineyards and their ranches amidst all this craze that's going on with the building?
Mm-hmm. Luckily, a lot of our folks are just really dedicated to what they're doing. I haven't heard rumblings yet of them giving up. We have seen, you know, delivery fees and prices go up, especially as the cost of, like, animal feed has gone up.
Yep.
So our eggs and chicken have gone up. Mm. The delivery fee for produce has gone up with the price of gas.
Yeah.
Because they're not from Sedona, they're from neighboring like farming towns, which are a little bit of a drive to get here. So we're starting to see those influences, but I'm not thinking of anyone right now that, you know, is considering a big change.
That's wonderful. I mean, for you too, of course. I mean, it's hard when you're loving your work, but you also have to be aware of the business end of realizing, okay, these are changes. The prices are going up. I'm going to have to adjust because my costs are higher buying, you know, and this has to be done. And it is an interesting, of course, side effect of the fact that we are going through this right now. But at the same time, people do put a price and realize that sometimes when you're buying things that are local and things that are healthy, sometimes you have to pay a little more money, right?
It's true. And although, honestly, for example, beef, I think we've seen the cost of beef go up higher in the bigger grocery stores, but we have seen less of an increase so far in the local beef.
Wow.
Which is, it is more expensive, the local beef, but It's interesting, the the difference between the two prices is the gap is narrowing a little bit. Which I think is great. I mean, the more people can financially reason to themselves to give themselves permission to buy local, then the more support local people get, the more they can, you know, grow and expand their local offerings. And then if we ever are really in a tight spot in terms of the supply chain, I mean, what better thing than to be surrounded by farmers, by people that are supported by you, you know, that are then able to support you back. So
has there been talk, you know, a lot of these people, and there's been a huge push for self-sufficiency in communities. Of course, that takes meaning maybe growing your own. I think you have a garden you're growing in your backyard and things such as that. Have you been seeing people aware of that need to become more self-sufficient in Sedona?
Yes, I think first it starts just with talking about it. And sometimes it takes a while to get from talking about it to doing it. But there are, you know, there's the Sedona Greenhouse Project, which is definitely doing it. It's, you know, a free forum for people to show up and volunteer, and as they're going, learn about permaculture practices, learn about just how to grow a garden, how to, you know, mulch fruit trees, and the skills that the average person may not already have, and then be a part of something, get some free food in an exchange, learn about some medicinal herbs. So that is going on, which is an awesome movement that's kind of in its beginning stages still, that keeps growing.
Tell me a little bit more how people can find out about that. It sounds wonderful. It's called the Sedona Greenhouse Project. Can they look it up or find it if they Google
they
it? Yeah?
Yes. They have a website and a Facebook page and a Telegram group.
Are you part of it? Have you found it? And are you part of it?
I went to one day, but I found I didn't have the energy to both do the business and do that. So I'm really just maybe spreading awareness about it. But I follow them, and I'm excited about what they are doing.
Yeah, no, I think it's wonderful. I think it's great, and it's also interesting because you, as an owner-operator there at the Interdependence Health Food Service, I mean, people come to you, and I'm sure you get into conversations with them, And they're probably curious about product, especially product that is locally sourced. And that chance also people can find out about the people who supply the locally sourced product and the story behind it. And the story behind it leads to exactly where we've led to. Is like, well, this is part of what we're doing now. And, of course, the community then is aware of the greenhouse project, which is a great idea. The seeds, you know, inch by inch. There was a great song by Arlo Guthrie. I have to be able to, maybe I'll find it and play it. Inch by inch, row by row, we're going to make that
row.
Garden. You know that one? We're going to make our garden grow. Great song, right? And that's what it is. Inch by inch, row by row, the garden will be grown and is growing. And I think more need than ever when we see what's in some of the produce that is commercially done right now. Sometimes it's people look at ingredients. Sometimes it's a little shocking.
Yeah.
I have to let you know, last week we talked some, and I actually took and bought a whole box of Tulsi rose tea, and I took a bunch of them, and I made a big pitcher, and I've been drinking, and it's been very hot. I've been drinking some Tulsi Rose iced tea that I just did myself, and it's really refreshing. And you don't have to buy ingredients that aren't necessarily good for you, because you can. Some things, like as simple as iced tea, you don't have to buy the produced ones. You can buy the tea bags and make the iced tea yourself, and you know what's in it then, right?
That's right.
And especially when it's kind of hot and stuff, there's ways to have things that are treats that are enjoyable, which I love about what you do, is the enjoyable, should we call them enjoyable indulgences? The healthy indulgences that you have that are actually a wonderful surprise to see that you can have wonderful treats that are actually good for you, right?
Absolutely.
And the other I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, there are a couple people that I share the plaza with who are making yummy treats, and we sell some of their things, too.
Who's that?
One of them is Karen's Gluten-Free, which you know about, and then one of them is Living Chocolate. And both of those companies, they don't use any white cane sugar in their products. And like, for example, with Living Chocolate, it's very simple ingredients. She knows the whole story behind the chocolate. It's raw, it's organic, it's brought to her by a local Sedona person from family co-ops in South America. And she does chocolate, she does halva, she does carob, which is similar to chocolate if you've never had that.
Yeah.
And peanut butter and almond butter treats.
Oh, yeah, and I think that store is right at the front of that little center, and then the beautiful next door to you is that lovely place that makes the wonderful treats that are gluten-free, which is more and more people are becoming aware of course. So, you know, it's interesting when you have a group of people so close as you are, and that you not only have friends, but you kind of learn from each other, and you can promote each other as well. Which is a lovely circle that continues to grow as people find out about it. And all of that, of course, I don't know if they're online, but I know you're online. And people can actually, even if they're not in Sedona, and probably a lot of people go through and then afterwards want to find out how to get stuff online. And I know even people who may not have been in Sedona can hear about you and maybe want stuff online. So how do they go about getting that site and finding some of those wonderful products you have?
I know that Living Chocolate, I believe their website is Living Chocolate with an S on the end, .com. And then I know you can just look up Karen's Gluten-Free Bakery in Sedona. And both of them ship, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wonderful. And what's your site again?
My site is Interdependence Foods with an S on the end, .com.
And you're going to be out camping soon. You leave in a day or two. And next week, I guess we'll be talking to Daniel, who's a wonderful guy who's been working with you, I guess, for a while there. What a great guy to have working with you at Interdependence Health Foods, right?
Yes, and he's a wealth of knowledge in all things medicinal, herbal, and other than health topics, too.
Yeah, and I've had a chance to talk to him. Super nice guy, and your other wonderful associate that works there, and I've had a chance to meet her. She's an artist and photographer, and she does beautiful artwork as well. She's quite an interesting lady as well, who is very aware of staying healthy. I forget her name. What's her name?
Maude. She's the photographer that does the gift card.
Yeah, she does beautiful work. Yeah, and you can see her gift cards right there at the counter. That's another thing I love about locally owned and operated stores. You can have that kind of thing. You can have, this is an employee, and look at, this is the work that she does. Or this is Daniel, and look at, he knows about this, and he knows about that. So I thank you. I thank you for supporting that, Susie, and I hope you have a wonderful camping trip. We'll have to talk to you when you get back about what it was like camping out and having a few days off from your very busy schedule. And I hope you stay cool and hydrated and have a wonderful time. And I thank you so much for taking the time to talk about what it's like when we support our community and support being healthy. It's a beautiful circle that grows inch by inch, row by row.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you, and aloha. Bye-bye.